Okay, so imagine this, you're in law school, right? And a client comes in and they're like freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
They hired a company for a project. It all went south. The company went bankrupt.
Classic.
And now they're like, what can I do? I lost all this money. Can I go after the owners personally?
Yes. The age-old question, can we pierce the corporate veil?
Exactly. And that's what we're diving deep into today. Specifically,
Okay.
a Louisiana case, Riggins v. Dixie Shoring Company, Inc. It's a fantastic example of when the courts will and won't hold those shareholders liable.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about Louisiana is they have a very strict approach to this.
Oh, absolutely.
So Riggins is a must-read for any aspiring lawyer down there.
For sure. For anyone listening who's, going to be advising businesses or even just dealing with companies themselves, you got to know when that liability shield comes down.
Totally. And that's why we're here to break it all down.
Exactly. So for this deep dive, we're really focused on the Riggins case itself, all the facts, the decisions, the reasoning, the whole nine yards.
Yep, we'll follow it all the way through.
Perfect. So to kick things off, can we just lay down the basics? Like, what's the general rule when it comes to shareholders and debt responsibility?
Sure. So the fundamental principle, the cornerstone of corporate law, is limited liability,
Right.
meaning shareholders are generally not personally on the hook for the corporation's debts.
Makes sense.
This is there to encourage investment and risk-taking. People need to feel comfortable putting money into businesses without fearing they'll lose their house if things go belly up.
Right. It's all about fostering that economic growth.
Exactly.
So how does Riggins fit into all this? Who are the players and what went down?
Okay, so we have William and Patricia Riggins. They're homeowners in Louisiana. And then there's Dixie Shoring Company, Incorporated. We'll call them DSC. And the main shareholder is Opie Bourgeois. He's the majority owner.
Got it. And what was the issue? What started this whole legal battle?
Well, the Riggins hired DSC to do some home leveling, but the work was shoddy. It caused a bunch of damage to their property.
Oh, no.
So naturally, they sued DSC to recover those damages. But here's the kicker. While the suit was pending, DSC went bankrupt.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's where things get tricky.
Yeah, so the Riggins, knowing they might not get anything from the bankrupt company, decided to amend their lawsuit and try to hold the shareholders, specifically OP Bourgeois and his son Reginald, personally responsible.
So they're trying to pierce that corporate veil.
Exactly. They're saying the usual protection shouldn't apply here and they should be able to go after the owner's personal assets.
Interesting. What did the first court think about that?
Well, the trial court actually sided with the Riggins.
Really?
Yeah, they felt the circumstances justified piercing the veil and held both OP and Reginald personally liable for the $51,000 in damages.
Wow, that's a big win for the Riggins. What led the court to that decision?
A few things, they found evidence of commingling of funds, meaning OP wasn't keeping his personal and company finances separate.
Oh.
There was also a lack of corporate formalities like not holding meetings or keeping proper records. And on top of that, there were allegations of over $100,000 in corporate assets being diverted, and they noticed a successor business was using some of DSC's assets.
So the court's seeing some red flags, some signs that the company wasn't being treated as a truly separate entity.
Exactly. And that's what made them feel comfortable piercing the veil.
So that's the trial court. But of course, it doesn't end there. What happened when the case went up to the Louisiana Court of Appeal?
Right, so the appeals court agreed with the trial court about OP Bourgeois being liable,
Okay.
but they reversed the decision regarding Reginald Bourgeois because it turned out he wasn't actually a shareholder or a director of DSC.
Ah, so one loss, it's still a bit of a mixed bag.
Exactly. The big question of piercing the veil is still up in the air.
Which brings us to the Louisiana Supreme Court, the final word in this case, and the place where we really see how Louisiana approaches this whole issue.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting. The Supreme Court takes a very different stance and completely overturns the lower court's rulings about OP Bourgeois's liability.
Whoa, a complete reversal. That's a
Yeah,
pretty strong statement.
absolutely. And this is the heart of the Riggins case. It gives us huge insight into how Louisiana applies limited liability.
Okay, so break it down for us. Why did the Supreme Court disagree so strongly with the lower courts?
Well, one of the main things they focused on was the fact that the Riggins willingly entered into a contract with DSC.
Right.
They knew they were dealing with a corporation, and the court basically said that means you accept the inherent risks, including limited liability.
So because they chose to work with a corporation, they're held to a different standard.
Exactly. And the court specifically pointed out that the burden of proof needed to pierce the veil is much higher in contract cases compared to, say, tort cases where the injured party didn't choose who they were dealing with.
Gotcha. So in this case, the Riggins had to meet a tougher standard to pierce the veil.
Exactly. Now, what's also interesting is the trial court considered DSC to be OP's alter ego. Like, it was just him in disguise.
Yeah, that makes sense, given the commingling and other issues.
Right. But the Supreme Court pushed back on that. They said, sure, there were some informalities, but not enough to say DSC was just a facade for OP.
So they acknowledged the issues, but didn't think they were enough to completely disregard the corporate structure.
Exactly.
Now, what about those specific points the trial court brought up, like the commingled funds and the allegedly missing assets? How did the Supreme Court view those?
They looked at each one very carefully for the commingling and the lack of formalities. They admitted it wasn't ideal, but pointed out that DSC had been operating as a corporation for 23 years.
Right, a long time.
They had bank accounts, tax returns, everything was done in the corporate name. So the court saying a few slip-ups over such a long period don't automatically mean the corporation is a sham.
Makes sense. You need more than that to throw out two decades of corporate history.
Exactly. Now, for the missing $100,000, the Supreme Court found a major hole in the Riggins' argument. They said there was simply no hard proof to back up that claim. The bankruptcy filings even listed the same equipment that the Riggins claimed was gone, and they even pointed to a balance sheet from years earlier showing the equipment's value was way lower than $100,000.
So the court's saying you can't just throw out big numbers without solid evidence.
Exactly. And there's one more piece to this. OP let DSC use his personal land and tools for free. The Riggins said that was another reason to pierce the veil.
Interesting. What did the Supreme Court say about that?
Well, they saw it as more of a loan or a contribution from OP to his company.
Okay.
Maybe not the best corporate practice,
yeah,
but not enough to justify ignoring the whole corporate structure and making him personally liable.
So again, of course, looking at the bigger picture, not just focusing on individual actions.
Precisely. And that's a key takeaway here. Louisiana courts use what's called the totality of the circumstances test to decide on piercing the veil.
Right.
They consider everything, commingling, formalities, capitalization records, meetings. And as we saw in Riggins, how long the corporation has been legitimately running is a major factor.
So 23 years in this case really helped OP's argument.
Absolutely.
Okay. So for all our future lawyers out there, what are the big lessons from Riggins? What should they keep in mind when dealing with corporate liability in Louisiana?
The main thing is Riggins really shows us how hesitant Louisiana courts are to pierce the veil, especially in contract cases.
Right.
You need strong evidence of actual fraud or deception, not just sloppy bookkeeping or bad management.
Gotcha.
And the burden of proof is on the person trying to pierce the veil, and Riggins shows us that's a pretty high bar to clear.
So letting your company borrow your tools or skipping a few meetings isn't going to cut it.
Nope. The court in Riggins drew a very clear line between those kinds of issues and the truly egregious stuff that might actually lead to personal liability.
So what's the big picture takeaway from Riggins? What's the core lesson about piercing the corporate veil in Louisiana?
I'd say it highlights just how strong the presumption of limited liability is in Louisiana. Riggins sets a very high standard, especially for contract cases. You need really compelling evidence of fraud or misuse of the corporate form, not just some missteps along the way.
Got it. So given how strict Louisiana is based on Riggins,
mm-hmm,
what kind of actions do you think would actually be enough to pierce the veil in a contract case?
That's a great question. I think if there's clear evidence that the corporation was used to intentionally defraud the other party from the get-go, that would be a very different story.
Interesting.
Like if the shareholders knew the company was going bankrupt and used that to trick someone into signing a contract.
Oh, what?
Or if they lied about the company's finances to get someone to do business with them, that kind of deliberate deception could definitely justify piercing the veil.
That makes sense. It's about using the corporation as a tool for fraud.
Exactly. And for anyone who wants to learn more, I highly recommend looking into other Louisiana veil piercing cases, especially ones involving tort claims.
Good boy.
Those cases often have a slightly different analysis and maybe a lower bar for piercing the veil since the injured party didn't choose to deal with the corporation.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks so much for walking us through Riggins. It really sheds light on a crucial aspect of Louisiana law.
Glad to be here.
And thanks to all of you for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Take care.